Hello, Wade Cox here, and welcome to the Ski with Wade podcast. I've been involved with this sport of water skiing for over 40 years now. I was fortunate enough to be a professional, and now I'm a full-time water ski coach. Today's guest and I will be talking about water skiing. We'll also be talking a little bit about travel and maybe a little about life as well. Thanks for joining us today. Ski with Wade, cut more rope. Hey, welcome to the first ever Ski with Wade podcast, sponsored by skiwithwade.com. Kind of exciting, like a new venture for me. I never dreamed a million years I'd be sitting here doing a podcast, but here we are. So I'm even wearing a Ski with Wade t-shirt, first one out of the box. We got stickers, slalom Bibles, hoodies will be coming, ski socks. So we got socks for your skis and for your feet coming. And we're going to have some sunscreen on there. So you'll be able to pick up any of this gear at skiwithwade.com. And not only will you be able to purchase the gear above, but you'll be able to find out when the Ski with Wade tour dates are and where they will be. And if you would like to attend, you can leave us an email at skiwithwade@gmail.com. Or if you would like to host as well, that would certainly be an opportunity that we could chat. So before we go any further, I would like to thank Gina for her awesome work on my website. I've gotten great sort of reviews from that. And then Tori on our really cool logo, which is kind of like a trifecta, like a water ski and a mountain, and then some sort of hand that becomes this really cool O'Neill looking wave, like you're at Pipe Masters or something. So I loved it. And then want to thank Lisa at Dreamfly Productions for being our producer of this podcast. So before we go any further, we'll talk about sort of our format each week. So we're going to have a guest, and then this guest is going to be able to ask five questions. Before I go any further, this will be my first sort of offbeat story. Big Dave Harvey from Australia, if we got back in the day, he worked for Carl Roberts, and then he also worked for me. So he was around Soundgarden and, you know, a bunch of the dudes back in the day. If someone came to the lake and they started asking a ton of questions straight away, I already knew it was coming. And Big Dave would say, okay, listen, mate, you got five bloody questions. Better be smart about them. Don't use up any stupid ones early that you already maybe know the answer to. You're just only asking a question because you're trying to create conversation. No, man. That sort of became my rule, man. If you got five questions, you better make them count, man. So a lot of you may have known me for, geez, maybe 40 years or so now. But my guest here on podcast number one may have the record for water skiing outside of my direct immediate family. My guest here today is John Reeves.
Wade Cox, thank you for having me on.
So John is from Prescott, Arkansas. And that's in L.A. That's a shout out to Trey Johnson, Lower Arkansas, as we call it. And so I was in nursery school with John's big sister, Michelle. That's how long we have known each other. Our parents sort of set a couple pews away from each other in the Methodist church there. So we go back way far. And the very cool thing is my man John here has found a new love for water skiing. Yep. So when did this happen, John?
2.5 years ago.
Tell me how that sort of took place.
Well, I have a new lease on life. I have a new wife, which I would have to say Wade lives across the street from your boyhood home in Prescott, Arkansas. So Tracy Graham.
So John, I grew up with his big sister, and then John's wife grew up directly across the street from me in Misty Cox's house. Right. Yes. It's so then it became the Graham house. Right. Yeah. So now, John, where do you currently live?
We live in Plano, Texas. We have two girls, Haley and Lily. One turned 17 this week, and Lily is 14, who I believe is going to share the same passion you do with slalom.
Nice. That's what I hear. So, John, where do you ski here in the DFW area?
I am a member at the Lucky Lake Ski Club, or DFW Water Ski, with Alan Hendricks, whom you've known forever as well. So he is kind of getting me into shape, and he's been my coach for the last two and a half years. And then I got buddies of mine that ski at Princeton Lake.
Yeah, that DFW water ski is quite the little setup there that our buddy Alan had. Yeah, that's DFW water ski. If you ever come into the area for business or whatever, then yeah, it's a great spot. And then John, you also mentioned Princeton Lakes. And it's really painful to say this, but our good friend Gordon Hall passed away recently. And not only was he was the developer of Princeton Lakes, but I mean, half the man-made lakes in Texas. So I was actually going to meet with him this spring. So it was really, really, really tragic news when we found he had passed away. So shout out to Gordon, because he really has made a lot of people water ski happy.
Yeah, I agree.
John, now I'm going to turn this over to John for his first question. I'll have other pros on some of our later podcasts, and you'll be able to ask that pro these five questions. But for this week, I am the pro. So, John, shoot away with the first question.
I'll do that. Growing up in Arkansas, we both skied on Lake De Grey. Arleigh Moore Campground, your ski jump, your course, everything was there. I was clueless. I didn't know what to do. My dad didn't have the wherewithal to go, hey, John, Larry and Wade Cox learn how to ski. So my question to you, how and why slalom skiing? You're around De Grey. What did your dad see in you early on in your life that says, Larry, Wade, I see something in you?
Yeah, that's a good question. Maybe we should have my dad on. I've told the story a few times. My uncle, my mom's little brother, not even was he a soldier and a pilot in the Army, but he was a absolutely rip-roaring water skier. And I saw him come home from, I think he was stationed in Thailand. Granted, we'd already been doing a lot of years on Lake Greason, you know, learned how to barefoot by the time I was eight with Keith and Troy from Spring Hill, Louisiana. So we were already like these lake sort of, you know, lake rats. Okay. But once I saw my uncle, he was riding an O'Brien wood ski. He was wearing jeans because he couldn't wait to find shorts. He didn't have a bathing suit. He just shows up on a motorcycle and he wants to ski. And he did, and he absolutely ripped it. So it sort of made it easy for my dad, because I was like, hey, man, I think water skiing's bad to the bone. I want to rip like my Uncle Jimmy. And he was a cool dude. So then we found out about the local water ski club. And that was our next deal. And because my Uncle Jimmy and a few of the others from around Arkadelphia had already joined the USA Water Ski. And hey, next thing I went to a little novice tournament. You know, that was it.
Well, we're all good at sports, but you took it to that next level.
Well, a lot of family help there. And yeah, a lot of other family, both grannies, my granny Cox and my granny May, they were both very instrumental financially as well. I mean, hey, they were cool about, hey, do you need any money? We need to pay an entry fee or something. So it was really a family affair.
Well, this is not one of the five questions, but I remember with Taft and Misty Cox living in the house across from yours, the red, white, and blue. You've been a Mastercraft guy since the beginning that I remember. And we would ride our bikes near Scotty Cox's 18-wheeler dump truck. And I'd always see a blue boat. I would always see the red one. I'd always see a new Mastercraft boat. It was just as that diesel truck was fascinating to a six-year-old kid, so was your boat. So it's a
sitting in that boat when it was in the garage in the middle of winter, you're waiting for that first spring day to hit the lake again. Yeah, right. It was fun.
Awesome.
All right, shoot, John.
All right. I know you don't ski anymore, but you're a great, probably one of the best coaches in the world. Would you give up coaching if you could ski again?
No, not at all. I had a lady that was actually really cute. It was Joe and Joy Shanahan from Smith Mountain Lake, Virginia. We were down in Costa Rica. And I really don't have any, I don't think they had any earthly idea who I was, except I was the guest water ski coach and I didn't ski. So like day three or four, Joy's like, hey, you don't really ski at all. And I said, no. She goes, well, even if it's like Memorial Day, 4th of July, you know, whatever, well, you know, will you come out of the closet for that? I'm like, no, I really don't want to, you know? And so then I'm too sore, you know? So I guess the next day or whatever, they go back to the villa. They look a little YouTube and they see, well, this guy's got videos and stuff. Yeah, well. So Miss Joy says to me the next day in the boat, she goes, well, I guess, you know, we're a little bit embarrassed. She goes, but I guess you really did do it. I said, yeah, Miss Joy, I did it. Yeah, I went all the way, as they say. So, no, I think the neat thing for me is I got to coach my kids lacrosse, and it was a full new sport. I knew nothing about it, but I fell in love with it, and I fell in love with coaching again. And then that sort of parlayed its way back over to the water, is that now I would far rather you get something out of it and be happy because I'm good. You know, I've already done it and I want you to do it now. So
I can feel it when I coach with you, when I study you, and that answer is about as honest as I expected. All right. Number three. All right. So, you know, I play and record on the piano. You teach patience. You teach balance. Skiing is a sport for me where patience is really tough. So you compare my journey in water skiing for the last two and a half years to the decades that I've spent playing the piano. And I think that really resonates well with my logical mindset as to why am I not running a better pass. So you told me on the piano that I didn't get to where I am today overnight. And you're trying to relay that into my mindset that you're not going to do a slalom course at 34, 35 off tomorrow. So my question really is, how long does it take to be good? And and good is comparative. People who can't ski, some who can ski 41 off, some who can go up to 22 at 30 miles an hour. How long does it take to meet a goal of someone at my age and you know the repetition of how little or how much I do ski to get a level up? Meaning, does it take once you're at a baseline, does it take a year to go from 52, another year from 28? And what is a realistic expectation for a 46-year-old individual just now getting into the sport? Does fairly well, but I think what's hard for someone at our age is expectations are out of whack sometimes.
Well, I get the same with all my parents that want their kid to be national champion or junior world champion or junior U.S. Masters champion. I'm like, dude, they've been on the water for 2 weeks this year. Have a little patience, you know, back off, dad, you know, give them a little space. So first of all, there's a talent discrepancy out there. Okay. You know, I'm looking at sort of talent and physical skills. Okay. Second thing I'm looking at is how in shape are you? 15 lbs overweight, you know, with no tan, or are you sort of like they used to say about Greg Norman the Shark, are you a flat belly with the tan? You know, maybe you're way more ready to go. Those are a couple things. And then the third is if they are going to get help, which, you know, most people, hey, you want to go get help. You're a piano player. Hey, where's the piano dudes that'll make me better, you know? So if you are reaching out for lessons, are you listening? And are you able to sort of hear through the noise in the system? One of my kids, Holden, he's sort of going on my drills and he progressed three passes in like maybe 6 weeks. I mean, like from like literally 15 off to, hey man, he's running 28 off into 32 off in just a few weeks.
That's
because
part of the talent.
It was part of the talent. And it was also part of the, hey man, he's like a child. And like I mentioned, my Uncle Jim being a soldier, he's used to being told what to do. He hasn't been adulted to where now, you know, the adult is psycho observing, you know, they're psycho analyzing me, they're psycho analyzing themselves. Now, nerves may play in a factor. They've already had bad experience where the kid, you're like, hey man, go left, go right. They go, okay.
Right.
It's sort of that easy. So that's the hard part for us learning anything, golf, piano, guitar, learning a new system on your computer. You start, man, you get the sweaty palms going and you're like, oh man, I got this IT guy and he's getting really, really pissed at me because I'm not getting this. And now look where your train of thought is. You're all clammed up and your whole mind's shutting down. You know, now you're becoming desperate. So that's what we try to get our mindset. So we're just simply working on our movements. And all of those things we just talked about can get in the way, okay. You know, to not just allow pure movement. You know,
I think what a lot of people don't understand from the novice side that I'm getting, you're going fast, even though if you're doing 28, 30, 34.
Really fast, especially on the newer skis. I mean, man, 28 miles an hour at 22 off, you're flying on wake crossings. Absolutely.
And for those who grow up on bow riders or stern drive boats with a wake that would launch you, it's a hard, for my mind, to overcome the nautique. It's different. And so that fear, and now we worked on it this last week with Alan, I think I've taken care of that fear, but it takes a while.
It does. It takes, because what I really, really discuss a lot is balance first. Is are you balanced on your ski? If you're off balance at the first wake, oh man, no, I mean, your mind takes over. The, oh, you know what factor goes through the roof. Absolutely. Now you're on survival mode at sort of center line. And you're not worried about where you're going to be at second spray line. No, you're like, I hope I live. You know, I hope I don't drop a tip. So if you're balanced, then you become comfortable in that balance. You're like, hey, I'm balanced. Okay, now you can use your vision. Simple as that. You have your balance, and you can use your vision, then you can see your sight line. You know if you're early or late. As soon as we started getting off balance, now we're in trouble.
Okay.
Now the crash has come.
I have ribs that can talk to you about them.
No, absolutely. Everybody does. Ribs, ankles, shoulders, all of the above. You know, that's where I preach. Hey, man, you need to get balanced on the ski and sort of get ripping like a golfer at the range where, hey, man, you can sort of go through your bag and you look like little Cooper Tate and his big brother, who's a ripping young little pro golfer, Kyler Tate. You watch these guys warm up with their wedges and they're just so fluid and so syrupy. So, you know, if on your first pass, you already got the biceps engaged and you're pushing on your ski. Your ski's going, dude, what are you doing? Because Bob LaPointe and Soundgarden are asking you not to push on it.
Well, it's interesting because you said don't grunt, don't grit. Now, just before this interview, I watched some video on your website, skiwithweight.com, where you're just doing probably a 35 or 32 off pass, and I swear you're smiling. The video's grainy, but your face is relaxed. You're just pushing the ski forward, going around.
Yeah, go ski with Chris Paris. He'll look at you off five ball 30. Oh, yeah, five ball 39 going to six and wink at you. You know, it's cool. All right, man, question number four.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, yeah. Well, we've sort of been, as my buddy, I've already mentioned his kids, Cooper and Kyler. My buddy Kyle Tate, once I called him and said, hey, man, it looks like I'm going to be getting divorced. He goes, well, now you're just a statistic. I was like, really, dude? You had to like lower me down to that? He goes, yeah, get over it. Yeah, you're half the country. So anyway, once I sort of went through, I got in an insurance business. My dad had done it and I felt comfortable with it. I knew insurance policies.
You used your dad at home?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so I did that for a while. And then I got to where I really didn't enjoy sitting in, sort of a cubicle, if you will. And, you know, Sunday afternoon, I'm worried about the hurricane. And if I can write policies Monday morning because you're buying a house or you're buying a boat or you're buying a jet ski. And I'm like, I really don't want to do this. So when I got not only divorced, but I sold my business, my daughter, Anne Marie, says, Dad, what are you going to do? I said, I think I'm going to go ride in the boat. And it was sort of a joke, but no, I'm really comfortable with what I do. I've never dreamed that I would, first of all, be doing a podcast, but it's kind of cool. I've got my own brand. You know, we talked about this Ski with Wade deal. It's just sort of evolved over the last years. I never started doing the coaching thing because I'm like, oh, I want a brand or I want a sticker with my name on it. You know, just sort of evolved. We talked about Holden, his little brother, a little brother from another mother, Ty Meeker. He helped sort of trigger my interest. He was a kid. He was dropping his hips, squatting really bad. And he took undoubtedly the worst header I've ever seen to this day, besides the one that I did at the 03 Worlds at Swiss Ski School. But that's another story. I just went, Holden, we got to go. First of all, pick him up if he's alive. We got to like go back and rewrite the book here. We got to build a better mousetrap, if you will. So I started doing some new stuff with these kids that I'd been doing myself back in the 90s and even the early 2000s with, you know, slowing the boat down and doing some free skiing. And I got these kids to where, next thing, what did they have? John, they had their balance and then they had their vision. Well, now their confidence went sort of through the roof. So that was sort of fun for me. Dex, you'd be sitting here, you know, talking about water skiing. Now that's what I want to do when I grow up. No.
Okay. Well, I can tell everyone out there that Wade will slow your rear end down. He's done that to me in the last 2 weeks. And I'm getting better at skiing. All right, last question. Go to your website, everyone. Go look at his accolades, his awards. Go look at the video of his induction to the Skiing Hall of Fame. So my question is, how do you want your legacy to play out?
Well, I think when I started tournaments and I got sort of good pretty fast, and next thing I'm at the Nationals pretty quick, you know, my dad and I, our biggest goal was just to simply to make the U.S. water ski team. Because there wasn't even a pro tour, man. This is like late 70s, early. Yeah. Okay. The U.S. pro tour didn't start until, I'm going to say, 84. It might have been 83. Wow. The Cal Cup, California Cup. Carl Roberts can maybe correct me. I think that was like late 70s. Moomba actually was the oldest professional water ski tournament because until sort of the modern era, same as golf and tennis, the Water Ski Masters was non-cash prize. Okay. So as I'm sort of going through maturity, man, I'm at Jack Travers now. I'm in Florida. My dad's got me training, you know, with all these pros sort of from around the world. Well, next thing, there's a pro tour. And all these guys, Glenn Thurlow, Brett Thurley, Mick Neville. They were all training there at, then it was called International Tournament Skiing, Jack Travers Ski School, which I'll be doing a Ski with Wade camp there soon. Yeah.
Go there during the winter.
So as the Pro Tour all of a sudden launched, man, I went from making the U.S. water ski team was like a secondary, much smaller deal than, hey, I could actually go be a pro. You know, I always had sights on being a dentist or an accountant, and I still went through college, got my degree, Go Knights, University of Central Florida. So I was true to that, but I was like, hey, man, I get to go be a kid, make a living. So yeah, that just sort of really happened out of nowhere. It just sort of evolved. The next thing, I'm a pro, as are most of my buddies.
But you're a humble guy. I mean, we have reconnected over the last few years. You're not after fame. You're not after fortune. And that's why I think this legacy question is a good one at the end, because you're not looking for a legacy yet. You need to realize, Wade, you are a legacy. You are Wade Cox. You are Andy Mapple. You are that group of skiers that none of us will ever become.
Well, it's a little strange, but yeah, I feel like I'm same as shout out again to our boy Trey. I'm from LA. I'm from Lower Arkansas. So yeah, I've kept my sort of most of my humbleness. I apologize if I've offended anyone along the way, certainly during my adolescent days and then my early days on the tour. Yeah, I had a bit of a Johnny McEnroe temp, and I was known to blow up. I learned to control that, and it certainly helped. But yeah, as far as modern day legacy, same as everybody else, I want to be a good dad. I want my kids to ultimately say, hey, I respect my dad, and he's a good dude. And then this whole coaching deal, that's sort of my passion. And if I was coaching football, soccer, lacrosse, whatever, it's like, hey, man, if these kids dig it, and with all my kids, they've got to carry their slalom Bible around, and it's got their academic goals, their water ski goals, both short and long term. How can I make it easier on my parents? So that's sort of, you know, this thing that sort of came about, like I ended up being a pro skier. Well, now I'm ended up riding in the boat, this sort of second phase of my life. And now it sort of just happened organically, I guess I would say that now, you know, I've just taken on this mentorship role and I love it. It's the coolest thing. So it's been fun. So, hey, let's, before we wrap up here, I want to talk music. So we already talked about you and your piano, and then we hit up how if I'm teaching a somebody like John Moodhart, my boy from Traverse City, Michigan, yeah, we'll talk in sort of lyrical terms or dynamic. So many of you maybe already seen on social media my new CD rack.
There it is.
Igor, my buddy from down in Birmingham, a big 7-foot basketball player, he says, yeah, my daughter just said, Dad, what's a CD? So, and I said, that's what us old dudes have. I had maybe way more than half of them destroyed, you know, in a couple moves. Some of them got wet, scratched. But I found some at another buddy, sort of donate me a few. And then I'm like, you know what? This coronavirus thing, can you believe it? We won't even go there. We won't waste our airwaves. So anyway, I went down to Home Depot. I bought me some concrete blocks. And then I thought, wait, man, I'm going to use up some of these skis. So I have all these skis, obviously hundreds and hundreds everywhere. So each of the skis sort of had a certain nostalgic quality, as you would say. Yep. And Mateo, you pointed out that one on the bottom of the rack. Yeah, bro, that's a A1 CDX Bob LaPointe special. It's a one of a kind. He made me about four or five of them. Actually, CP won the U.S. Open, and I'm going to say 06, on one of these sister skis. So yeah, the skis are legit, but Will Asher being the future Hall of Famer, godlike slalom skier that he was going to become, he got the final word on that mold, because I was already sort of in HO Syndicate management. I'm like, hey man, just give Will whatever he wants. Whatever he says, just build him that. So anyway, yeah, that's been kind of fun because I've really got back into music. My buddy Tommy Phillips, my mental guru, has got me playing my old Fender that my buddy Alan Limbrick, another water skier, picked out for me. And then another old buddy, Larry Washka, rest in peace, Larry. He passed away about 15 years ago. He was a regular at Water Ski Paradise. So that Takamine, which is actually a really, really cool guitar, you know, you can hook it up, plug it in, as they say. So I've sort of got them tuned, John. I've been playing. So you tell me about your passion, and you actually record some of your own music now.
I do. I've been playing since I was a kid. I remember my sister. Hi, Michelle. Shout out to you. She would have boyfriends come over, and I would play Here Comes the Bride and a lot of these love songs where I would actually get in trouble by Tom and Vicki Reeves to stop. So I was fired by my music teacher, Marcy Mitchell, because I wasn't doing it her way, because I would actually want her to play the music that I would play it by ear. So I can read, but I play. I had a divorce as well about 3.5-4 years ago, and bought another Steinway grand piano used. And Tracy has enabled me to enjoy my passion, both with music, concerts. I didn't know you're supposed to have fun in life, Wade, until now. Pretty cool. I started picking up the piano again, recording it, synthesizer, layering music after music. And it's not professional stuff, but it sounds really good. And it's where I go to relax. Growing up with Tourette syndrome, still have it. It's a way for me to release through music versus release through the tics. And it's been something that's been absolutely important, just like family, faith.
No, that's very cool, man, because I sort of have, since I've started posting a few of these pictures of my guitars and in my ghetto poor man's, you know, CD rack, you know. Yeah, that some of people have said, hey, man, I didn't know you were so into music. I'm like, dude, I left home when I was pretty much 11 years old. And I'm 51. So how would I have survived 40 years on the road without music? You know, so I've got an eclectic mix, as they say, but yeah, there's been lots of, I call it concerts in the car. When I'm driving all night or an all day sesh and I've got to get somewhere and I don't really want to talk on the phone to pass the time. I don't want to listen to books. I don't want to watch TV in the car. Who would do that, right? So music, yeah, sort of became that thing that was also a healing power for me as well. It's been very cool. Well, hey, John, we're going to close now. I want to thank you for your time here. We'll be back soon with another podcast. Once again, I want to say, if you want to go to skiwithwade.com, you can pick up some merchandise, check out the gear. You can also see tour dates for Ski with Wade. They'll be coming to a city near you. And you can also send me an email, skiwithwade@gmail.com. And that's it. Hey, thanks a lot, John.
Thank you, Wade.
See you guys soon. Ski with Wade. That's a wrap this week for Ski with Wade podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to email me at wade@skiwithwade.com or direct message me on Instagram or Facebook with any questions you may have. We'll cut more rope next week. Ski with Wade.